Okay, so we're going to continue Berachas HaShachar. We'll compete a little with the noise now that we've been displaced. So we're entering the second phase of Berachas HaShachar. The first group, we said the opportunity to do our mitzvos, the spiritual gifts that we got. Now these brachos are more in the physical gifts, vision, motion, the upright stature. Closer examination of these brachos, however, reveal that within each bracha, there's a deeper appreciation for what's going on, for the less obvious faculties involved. The Gemara in Brachas tells us, it details the step-by-step sequence of the actions that a person takes every morning, as you get dressed, you move around, and we're using these skills that come second nature to us, to most people. But unfortunately, there are those individuals who can't stand, they can't bend, they can't walk, and to them, life is very different. Even if we suffered a minor injury, as a sprained finger, or Steven, his ankle, it's a little more than minor, but if sprained finger, how our daily routine changes just from that. And imagine someone who's permanently handicapped and something like tying shoes, buttoning a shirt, or even making a tie becomes difficult or sometimes even impossible. So, Pokeach Ivrim, Hashem gives us the sight to the blind. And this means, literally, Hashem makes the blind person see. If Shimon Schwab says, it's a good thing to close our eyes momentarily when we make this bracha, and imagine what life would be if, when we opened our eyes, we wouldn't be able to see anything. And in that way, when we now open it and complete this bracha, we can appreciate more the miracle of sight. And he says how sweet it is, as it says, "Umasa ka'ar v'tov le'nayim," sweet is the light and is good for the eyes. If Shimshon Pinkus says, also similar, he says, eyesight is one of our greatest pleasures. But again, since we live it and it's everything that we have, it's very difficult to understand what we have. And he says, just like if you want to appreciate what breathing is, you're supposed to go underwater and hold your breath, and then when you come out, you appreciate what a breath is. He says the same thing again, is that if you want to appreciate what your eyesight is, you should again close your eyes and then reopen them, and the sight of being able to see, it becomes that much greater. And he says, sometimes we hear something like a child crying, we look out the window, and there's a cat outside our window. But our eyes never trick us. We never see a hat and then think it's an apple. What we see is really is emes, to the point that what we see, we're able to testify as Edim to kill someone. And that's how great our eyes are. And we know who's next to us. We could tell if it's a friend or someone who's not. When it comes to eating, food tastes better when we could see the food as opposed to when we're eating it in the dark. So the eyesight adds a lot to everything we do. And Shimshon Pinkus says there's even more to this bracha. He says a person has five senses, but what the eye can pick up in 5 seconds can take more than 50 years to describe and listen to. He says, imagine you walk into a Beis Medrash. It's full of people, full of Svarim. What your eyes take in those 5 seconds, the color of the Svarim, where the Svarim are, the Chavrusas, what each Chavrusa is wearing, what they were learning, how long that would take to describe to someone who wasn't there all that detail. There are millions of details in that. Yet the eye captures it all in one moment. He says, so too an eye is like a camera. And wherever we go, it's taking pictures that are being developed into our brain. And we're constantly seeing things. 15 hours a day, 365 days a year, 70 or 80 years. And how thankful we have to be that the eye is able to constantly capture the picture, for us. He says, another thing we have to be thankful for in this bracha is that everything's made in color. The world could have just as easily been in black and white, and we would have been able to get by and serve Hashem in the same fashion. But by the fact that he added color to everything around us, we have to be thankful that our eyes can pick up all that color. Malbish Harumim. He clothes the unclothed, the naked. If Shimon Schwab says, the simple meaning is obviously, again, we're thanking Hashem for giving us clothes as protection against the elements. If Shimon Pinkus says, it's not just...
Does a blind person...
Yes, he still says the bracha anyway. All these brachas, even though, like we said last week, you don't hear the rooster, we still would say it anyway. It's still thanking Hashem for the capacity of what He's created, but the one who has that ability, it's that much greater what we're supposed to be feeling.
It's not a levatola. It's a good point.
No, it's not a bracha levatola. So So Shem Pinkus again. So in this second bracha, he says that we're not just thanking Hashem for the clothing, you know, but we're thanking him for the fact that we're not naked. And the bracha, and that's why the bracha is Malbish Arumim. It's not a, it's that he's dressing the naked. It's not that, you know, thank you for clothes. So it's the point of what the bracha is. He says also clothes is who we are. A Talmud Chacham, you could tell when he walks in based on his clothes. Other people, you could tell what jobs they have based on their clothes. So clothing tells a lot of the person. The clothing tells us about the pneumius. Without clothes, we focus only on the outside, only on the chitzonios. And now that we're clothed, the pneumius is seen. And this is especially true when it comes to girls, when it comes to women, as we say, kol kvuda basmelach pnima, that their entire honor, everything about them is on the inside, it's internal. And we're thankful to Hashem that we still get it. It's not the chitzonios as the world thinks it is today, but it's the pnimios that are still important. Rav Shimon Schwab says that we're referring to the gift of clothes that Hashem gave Adam and Chava when they left Gan Eden. And again, the person originally was created unclothed. However, once we gave preeminence to the demands of the guf and we committed the sin of the Eitz Hadas, which was in an animal-like fashion, Hashem felt we needed now to clothe our body, which is similar to the animal, and in order for us to realize and be cognizant that we're still superior over animals. And the human being is the only creature on earth that has free will. And we have to use this free will, to, he says, to overcome the animalistic urges that we have. And therefore the clothing symbolically is distinguishing us from the animals. And he says, and therefore, he says, this is where tznius comes from. And he says, and that's the reason that what part of the body do we cover? Only the parts of the body that are similar to animals. The face, which portrays our superiority over animals, does not have to be covered. And our hands, which we do mitzvos and control our actions with, also not be clothed. But every other part of the body, which is similar to the animal, needs to be covered to show that we're different than animals. Rabbi Yechiel Sparrow says that, again, this bracha is, again, on the clothing that Hashem gave Adam and Chava. And he says, and after they did the Avera, the Pasuk tells us they knew they were Arum. They knew that they, you know, were unclothed at that moment. And Hashem made them clothes, as it says, Vayal Bishem, that he dressed them. Now, he says, when it comes, when a person does an Avera, the person becomes inadequate and embarrassed. And he, you know, sometimes he puts himself down, and it becomes hard to fulfill what we're here to do. But what's really happening is Hashem is taking us, when we do that Avera and we stumble, he clothes us. He puts the malbish from the word, malbish comes from the word lovesh, which is lovesh is two words, lo bush, that we're not embarrassed. And that's what clothing is supposed to do for us, that when we wear clothing, both physical and spiritual, there's nothing to be ashamed of how we look. And just as we do not wish to be seen physically unclothed, so too we're concerned about being spiritually unclothed, and that's what we're saying in this bracha is we're thanking Hashem for that ability that we can get past something we did and move on in life. Matir Asurim, Hashem releases the bound. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us this bracha literally is that Hashem unties those that are bound, that we're, when we're tied up. And the ability that we have to move is a gift from Hashem and not something we should take for granted. And while we're asleep, we have no voluntary control over our movements, just like someone who's tied up or chas v'shalom paralyzed. And each morning when we awaken, we have to recognize this gift. It's something brand new. Included in this bracha is the Hakara HaTov, he says that we have to have for speech and hearing, because these also are abilities that were tied up at night and that we couldn't use. And only now, when the morning came, do we get that back. Eris Spero tells us that we're thanking Hashem again, along that same theme, that for freeing us from being caught by the Averos, which sometimes we come enslaved by. It says many people have. They have one, they have two areas. You know, we have a few areas that we get, we have that we're stuck in, and we get very frustrated that every time the Nisayon comes, we fail it again. And these constant failures leave us feeling like we're imprisoned to these shortcomings. So Hashem instills in us this ability to remove these shackles and break free of our inadequacies and our limitations. And that's, again, what we're doing with this bracha. Zokef kifufim, he straightens those that are bent. Literally, we're thanking Hashem for giving us the strength, the energy to get up out of bed. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says that this bracha and the bracha before is tied together, where we're thanking Hashem that we have that ability to run and jump and that everything's working. He says, imagine somebody's in a cast, someone chas v'shalom is paralyzed, says how difficult life becomes. So we have to be thankful every morning when we make these two brachos of Matir Surim and Zokif Kefufim. You know what? Everything's working. We're able to get up and we're able to function and move through life. But we take it for granted that ability to stand straight. It says, why is it that mankind stands on 2 feet? Animals stand on 4 feet. What's the difference? So he tells us that our minds are not the same as animals. Our minds are not horizontally equal to our bodies. Our minds are greater than our bodies, and therefore they sit on top of us. As opposed to the animalistic tendencies that we have, so in order, again, to remind us that we're not like an animal, and we're different, our minds are on top, and we walk, therefore, on 2 feet, as opposed to the animals, where their minds and their body, everything is equal, so therefore they walk on 4 feet. We also thank Hashem that not only did He give us the ability of Matir Asurim, that we bounce back from those shortcomings, we thank Hashem also that even when we're bent over and we're humiliated by things we've done, we have that Zokef Kefufim where we can re-stand again and stand up tall and face the future of what's coming. Roka Ha'aretz Al Hamayim spreads out the earth on the waters. When we get up, we stand up on firm ground. And for those who have taken science, we know that the earth is a solid piece of ground, but the interior is made of liquid. It's water, the center is molten metal, and if not for Hashem solidifying the surface of the earth, life as we know it would be impossible. And when Shimon Schwab tells over, he says he experienced two earthquakes in his life, once while he was still in Germany and once while he was visiting Los Angeles. He said these two occurrences made him so much more thankful to Hashem for the secure feeling of being able to stand on firm ground. And he quotes the Chazal in Tamid that says, even an experienced sailor who spends most of their life at sea does not feel fully secure until they're back on land again. And the same thing applies nowadays to air travel. No matter how much a person flies, when that plane touches ground, there's a certain relief that kicks in. And there's nothing like being able to step out, he says, onto terra firma, which is just that ability and what this bracha is saying. If Shimshon Pinkus says, he says, Earth is a ball out in space. He says, what happens when we throw a ball up? It falls. Yet, what happens to Earth? It stays in place. And for this, we're thankful that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 5,773 years and counting, Hashem has held Earth in place and has not let it go and just, you know, let it fall. Erisperer says that we're thankful in this bracha and in the future bracha that we say a couple brachas later, Vamechem etzadei gover, for the firmness of the man's footsteps on land, as opposed to when you go out to sea, it's wild, it's unpredictable. And we've certainly in this world seen destruction by water, whether it's been tsunamis or the hurricanes, as most notably with Hurricane Sandy. And therefore, we're thankful that the earth is stable. She'as li kol tzarki, who's provided me with all my needs. The Gemara tells us that Chazal originally, as we said, put these brachos in our morning as we got ready, and this was a bracha when we put on our shoes. And the Vedram explains that as long as one is barefoot, he can't go outdoors and he can't provide for his needs. But once he put on those shoes, he now can go out and provides and Hashem there provides everything we need. Rav Shimon Schwab points out that this is the only bracha in all these brachos that says the word li. That the individual person is stressing, Hashem has given me all that I need. I've awakened, I've regained my senses, I'm able to walk, I'm able to get dressed. I have everything, and I'm happy with everything I have. Regarding others, though, it would be inappropriate for us to say, She'asa lanu kol tzarkenu, because how do I know if you have what you need? But I know that for me, I have what I need. And the Maral tells us also about the shoe. He says the shoe is the physical separation between man and ground. And it elevates us. It raises us up to remind us as a physical reminder that we're here for a higher purpose, not just to fulfill our taivos, which is what the ground would be. And the bracha ends with the words called tzarki, all of my needs. And we sometimes get confused what are called needs and what are called wants. But they're very different things. And sometimes we go, I have to have this, I need this, when in reality, if that was true, then Hashem would have given it to us. And therefore, what we're saying is, you've given me everything that I need. I might want something, I may think I need something, but what I personally need this morning, you've given me. If Shimshon Pinkus tells us, we don't realize the greatness of this chesed that Hashem has done for us. He says one time his family was moving from Bnei Brak to the Negev, and he asked his friend, he said, can you get me a tender for this move? And the friend, being wise and tested in these type of things, ordered him a moving truck instead. After everything was packed, Shimshon Pinchas says, you know, I saw my friend was right. I never realized when everything was put away how much stuff I really have. And we have to therefore realize that even though things are in their proper places, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done a great chesed and has given us so much, and when we make this bracha, be cognizant of everything we have. Hamechin mitzadei gover, who firms man's footsteps, and we're thanking Hashem for the obvious that we're able to walk. The Prisha tells us that we're appreciating the legs Hashem has given us, because without the legs, we obviously would not be able to go anywhere. And the reason that we chose to thank Hashem specifically for the earth and for our feet is because without these two aspects, as we said, life would not be able to exist as we know it. Rav Shimon Schwab says that this is the first bracha that is somewhat different than the past brachos. Until now, we thanked Hashem for things that have been done for us. We thanked Hashem for sight. We thanked Hashem for getting dressed. He says this is the first bracha, which is more a bracha on as we begin to walk, as we're going out. He says, and this is a bracha where we are thanking Hashem for the ability to choose. We're able to walk in life and now make a decision. Am I going to go right? Am I going to go left? Am I going to follow what Hashem says, v'alach b'drachav? Or am I going to follow things that I want? And regardless of the path that we choose, we're going to lead our lives based on this free will. And we have that ability to make our decisions about how we want to live the life. And if we choose the Derech HaChaim, the proper way of life, we can be assured Hashem's going to help us, as Chazal tell us, Abar L'tayer, Misayin Oso, and if not, then we're responsible for the choices that we made and have to live up to those consequences. Just to close with a story and then the homework again. So there was this Reb Chaim Honig in Stanford Hill, London, who had an engraving business. And, you know, typically in engraving business, he engraved a Bar Mitzvah boy's name on a Kiddush cup, you know, maybe a chassan, his initials on a cuffling, on a plaque. He said one time a Jewish organization came to him, they brought him a mezuzah case in silver, and they said they want to present it to Queen Elizabeth. And they would like him to engrave something in Hebrew and English with this floral design. And he's been doing this, Reb Chaim, for more than a decade, yet he sat there, he set up the machinery. Took him 2 hours to line everything up, realign it, measure it, remeasure it, until he was convinced it would be perfect. It took another hour to get the floral pattern into place. He's never been so meticulous. And then it hit him as he was doing this, as the Gemara tells us, Chassidim Harishonim Hayushon Sha'achas Mispalim Kitei Sheichavnu Eslibim Lavim Sheva Shemayim, that the early pious people would spend an hour and then they would daven in order that they can direct their hearts to Hashem. He always wondered, he said, what do you do for an hour preparing? You come in, you put any towels, tefillin. What can you do for an hour? He says, now I understand what a person can do when you have to prepare, you know, before you go off to, you know, to send something to royalty. So again, you know, something as, and I certainly know that as I'm preparing this Zvad, I only hope it does the same for your tefillos that, you know, it's doing to mine, that it's certainly making me realize that, you know, if we want to do this right, you may need that hour prior to get yourself ready. But, you know, we have to just be cognizant and try where we can to put in that extra time if we're able to in order to make the davening proper. And the homework, just similar as last week, is to take one morning, at least one morning, and try to focus on these sets of brachos, on this middle set, and Bez Hashem next week, we will then finish off the Berachos HaShachar and continue to move on in the davening.